Imagine a world where we could tackle some of humanity's biggest challenges, developing life-saving drugs much faster, navigating space with unbelievable precision, even, feeding everyone sustainably. What if there was like a single technology that could potentially revolutionize all of that? Well, today, that's what we're diving into: quantum computing and new drug discovery. But we'll also look at its, frankly, surprising potential in agriculture and space too. Our goal here is to explore how this tech is moving from, let's say, theory to actual practice. We'll look at the breakthroughs, the roadblocks, and what the future might really look like. We're using insights from a big review on quantum and drug discovery, plus some really interesting articles on farming and space applications, and other recent reports looking at the wider picture.
Yeah, and just to set the scene a bit, it's key to understand why quantum computing is so different. Normal computers use bits, right? Zeros or ones. Quantum computers use qubits. And thanks to quantum mechanics, a qubit can be a zero and a one at the same time. That's superposition. And then there's entanglement, where qubits get linked, instantly connected, no matter how far apart. It's these features that give them the power to tackle problems that are just, well, completely out of reach for even our best supercomputers today.
Okay, great baseline. So let's ground this. A perfect example of a computationally heavy process is traditional drug discovery. It's gotten incredibly complex over the last, what, 40 years, and the cost and time are just huge, often more than 10 years, and over $2 billion for, a standard drug. Though it's interesting, an orphan drug like fexinetazole for sleeping sickness, that cost much less, about 55 million euros. Still a lot, but a different scale.
Right, a huge difference.
And this whole journey, from finding a target molecule to getting FDA approval, it's got so many stages. First, discovery and development, finding the target, validating it, screening millions of compounds, then tweaking the hits to make them better, safer. That's your API, the active pharmaceutical ingredient. Then preclinical research, safety tests, animal studies, all before humans. Needs good laboratory practice, GLP. Then clinical trials, phase one for safety, phase two for effectiveness, phase three confirming it works against existing treatments, and phase four after it's approved, just monitoring long term, and then the FDA review and ongoing checks. It's intense.
It is, and you've really highlighted the core issue, the massive computational need throughout. Simulating how molecules interact, that takes serious computing power. And that's exactly where quantum computing comes in as a potential game changer. It uses those quantum principles we mentioned, superposition, entanglement, to offer new ways, fundamentally different ways, to speed up discovery. We're talking better molecular modeling, a deeper grasp of biology. It could lead to personalized medicines, getting past the limits of older methods, like, just using plant extracts. It's not just faster, it's about tackling problems classical computers literally can't solve accurately.
Okay, that really clicks. So the problem is clear: slow, expensive, computationally bottlenecked. How exactly does quantum computing step in and start changing things? What are the tools?
Right, let's get into the specifics. One major area is molecular dynamics simulations. Quantum computers can simulate atoms and molecules at that fundamental quantum level. This gives us far more accurate, detailed info about how molecules behave, react, and interact with biological targets. Much clearer picture, really.
So, like getting a high definition view instead of a blurry one.
Exactly. Then you have quantum machine learning. These algorithms use quantum effects to, well, basically supercharge drug design and virtual screening. They can explore these huge libraries of potential drug chemicals much more efficiently than classical methods. Imagine checking countless options almost simultaneously instead of one by one. This speeds up finding promising candidates and predicting their properties.
Okay, exploring that chemical space faster. Makes sense.
Then there are quantum optimization algorithms, things like quantum annealing or variational quantum algorithms. These are designed to find the best solution among many possibilities. Think optimizing a drug candidate's structure for maximum effect and minimum side effects, or even figuring out the best way to manufacture it.
Finding the optimal path, basically.
Precisely. And finally, there's something called quantum-inspired algorithms. These are clever algorithms that run on classical computers, but they borrow ideas from quantum mechanics, like QAOA, the quantum approximate optimization algorithm. They can boost efficiency for tasks like predicting molecular properties, even without a full quantum computer yet.
Interesting. So, kind of a bridge technology.
In a way, yes. And we're already seeing this stuff move beyond theory. Remember that Google and Amgen collaboration back in 2020, they used a quantum computer to study the Haber-Bosch process. That's how we make ammonia, vital for fertilizer. They got new insights into the reaction at a molecular level. could lead to better catalysts.
Right, I remember reading about that. Industrial chemistry, basically.
Exactly. And in 2021, IBM Quantum worked with universities in Tokyo and Oxford on protein folding. That's huge for drug design, because a protein's shape dictates its function. Classical computers really struggle with that complexity. But they simulated small protein folding, getting insights into how they reach their stable shapes. That helps design drugs targeting specific structures.
Like finding the keyhole you need the drug to fit into.
Perfectly put. And there are other applications too, structure-based design, molecular docking, using really precise ab initio calculations. That means starting from fundamental physics, no approximations. Also de novo design, simulating chemical synthesis pathways, and improving ligand-based discovery by adding quantum details to QSR models, those models that predict drug activity from structure. Just makes the predictions better.
Wow. Okay. So it's hitting multiple points in that long discovery pipeline. But you hinted earlier, this isn't just about pharma, is it? How does this connect to other big areas like, say, agriculture?
Absolutely. The connection's fundamental biology, photosynthesis, protein folding in plants, gene expression. These are all quantum processes at heart. So in agriculture, think about genomic analysis. Quantum algorithms could massively speed up sequence alignment, helping us find genetic markers for better crops much faster. Genome assembly, especially for complex plants, can be treated as an optimization problem perfect for quantum annealing. It could cut down breeding cycles from, you know, decades to maybe just years.
Decades to years. That's transformative for food security.
Hugely. And think about analyzing gene expression with quantum machine learning. Understanding how crops respond to heat, drought, pests. That's vital for creating climate-resilient varieties. For proteomics in plants, it's similar to drug discovery. Understanding protein folding helps understand plant functions. We could even simulate photosynthesis to find ways to make plants more efficient at capturing energy. Imagine just a small boost in efficiency across major crops globally, billions in value potentially, without needing more land.
That's incredible. Optimizing nature itself, almost.
In a sense, yes. And then there's agricultural data analytics. Quantum could improve predictive models for yields or disease outbreaks, spot early signs of trouble in sensor data, and optimize resource use like water and fertilizer across complex landscapes.
Okay, agriculture is huge. Now, let's look even further out, space exploration. How does quantum fit in there? Seems like a different world entirely.
Well, there's a fascinating synergy emerging between quantum, AI, and space. For quantum communication and security, there's quantum key distribution, QKD. It offers basically unbreakable communication security for satellites and deep space missions. China's Mission Satellite already proved it works in space, vital for secure data transmission.
Unhackable space comms. Got it.
Then, quantum navigation and positioning. Think ultra-precise atomic clocks, quantum accelerometers. They could allow spacecraft and rovers to navigate with incredible accuracy, relying less on signals from Earth. Imagine navigating Mars autonomously, with pinpoint precision.
Wow, okay. Like built-in hyper-GPS.
Kinda, yeah. And quantum sensing and Earth observation. These sensors can detect tiny variations in gravity, magnetic fields, temperature. This could revolutionize how we monitor Earth, finding water resources, tracking geological changes for climate studies, predicting natural disasters. It could also sharpen our view of space, better telescopes for finding exoplanets, studying the early universe.
So better eyes on Earth and deeper views into space. What about, like, building better spacecraft?
Definitely. Quantum computing has huge value for space computing itself. Simulating materials at the quantum level could lead to breakthroughs in propulsion, maybe entirely new engine types. It could help design lighter, stronger, more heat-resistant materials for spacecraft, critical for long journeys or extreme environments. Plus, improving how we track dangerous space debris, optimizing satellite communication networks, and maybe even helping us understand fundamental physics from observing celestial bodies.
Okay, this sounds revolutionary, almost too good to be true sometimes, but we know there have to be catches. What are the big hurdles? Is this all still, you know, mostly lab-based potential right now?
That's the right question to ask. There are definitely significant hardware limitations. We're still in the early days. Qubit counts are relatively low, and crucially, they don't stay quantum for very long. That's coherence time. Errors creep in quickly. For the really complex problems in drug discovery or material science, we likely need thousands, maybe millions, of stable error-corrected qubits. And building those and correcting the errors is a massive engineering challenge.
So the machines themselves are still evolving, prone to noise.
Exactly, and that leads to integration challenges. How do you effectively combine these quantum processors with the classical computers we already have? You need both. Data transfer, synchronization, it's tricky. That's why hybrid quantum classical HQC approaches are so important right now. We also need better algorithm development, more quantum algorithms specifically designed for these real-world industry tasks.
And what about the data itself, especially in medicine?
Right. Data concerns are huge. We're talking about sensitive biological and chemical data. Using cloud-based quantum computers run by third parties raises privacy and security questions that need careful handling. And let's be frank, cost and accessibility are still major barriers. These machines are incredibly expensive and complex to build and maintain. Access is limited.
So that idea of quantum advantage, where a quantum computer clearly blows a classical one out of the water for a practical problem, we're not quite there yet across the board.
Not for broad, complex problems, no. To be clear, no quantum computer today has solved a generally useful problem that a classical computer couldn't eventually solve, maybe just much slower. That clear, game-changing quantum advantage is probably waiting for fault-tolerant machines with thousands of stable qubits. Most experts think that's likely maybe 10 to 20 years away for widespread impact.
10 to 20 years, that puts it in perspective. But still, you mentioned progress. We are seeing steps forward, right? Mm-hmm. What are some examples of the hardware getting better?
Oh, absolutely. Progress is incredibly fast. Microsoft's working on Majorana qubits, a different approach aiming for better stability. Google's Willow chip showed huge speed-ups and better error correction on specific benchmark problems. Japan launched Rimei, that hybrid quantum supercomputer we talked about, mixing quantum and classical. Intel is pushing scalable silicon-based quantum chips, aiming for mass production eventually.
So the big players are definitely investing heavily.
They are. IBM's Quantum System 2 is modular, uses 156-qubit chips, runs much faster, and their cloud platform makes quantum access easier for researchers. D-Wave, focusing on quantum annealing, has their Advantage 2 processor with over 4,400 qubits, showing huge speed-ups on certain optimization tasks. Quantinuum achieved very high accuracy with their trapped ion system. And it's not just the giants. Smaller companies like Quantum Computing Inc., Rigetti, IonQ, they're all innovating with different qubit technologies and access models.
Okay, so even if the big advantage is a way off, these current, maybe somewhat noisy machines can do useful science now.
Yes, exactly. That study using IBM's machines for quantum cosmology is a great example. They solved a real physics problem with just 4 qubits, getting decent accuracy using a hybrid approach. It shows that even these NISQ noisy intermediate scale quantum devices can be valuable tools for specific scientific investigations today.
That's really encouraging. So wrapping this up, what's the main takeaway for people listening, whether they're in science, tech, business, or just, you know, curious?
I think the biggest thing is understanding this is an interdisciplinary effort. It needs physicists, engineers, chemists, biologists, computer scientists, even finance experts working together. It's about enhancing existing fields, not replacing them entirely. Countries are realizing they need to get quantum ready, planning, investing, training people. Trying things out now, even on current cloud platforms, is key to understanding what quantum can and can't do for specific problems. And the potential economic impact is forecasted to be enormous, maybe up to $2 trillion by 2035.
So we've journeyed from the tiny world of molecules inside our bodies out to the vastness of space, all connected by this incredibly strange, incredibly powerful field of quantum computing. So it's definitely not science fiction anymore. It's happening now, being built and tested to solve some really fundamental global issues.
Right. And if you connect the dots, the real promise isn't just doing things faster. It's about unlocking a deeper understanding of systems that are fundamentally quantum in nature, from life itself to the materials that make up our universe. But getting there needs sustained effort, investment, talent, and careful thought about how we integrate it.
Yeah, it seems the key is that quantum complements classical computing. It doesn't replace it, but it opens doors to calculations, to insights that were just impossible before. Which leaves us with a thought, perhaps. What new, currently unimagined mysteries may be about the very nature of life or the origins of the cosmos will quantum computing reveal once it truly comes of age? What can we not even conceive of asking today that quantum might help us answer tomorrow?